This is the Voice of First Nation Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Indian tribes of the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And now here are your hosts, Deborah Klein and Marv Betcher. We'll pick up where we left off yesterday as Debbie continues her theme on Christian struggles, focusing this week on disobedience and rebellion. Now here's Debbie.
It wasn't turning out the way he thought it would. And by the time we meet him, we only see his disobedience and the storm that it caused in the heavens and in the ocean. And the interesting thing is, as fierce as this storm was, Jonah was asleep. Jonah 1:5 says he was asleep. How could he have slept through that storm? Sometimes I think we can numb our conscience to the point that nothing wakes us up to reality. And the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. And so, you know, sometimes I think we can just tell ourselves what we want to hear and be oblivious to the storm. Jonah knew he was running away from the Lord. He even told the sailors on the ship that day that that was the case. But sometimes when we stop trying to do the right thing, there's just kind of a numbness maybe that comes over us. If a couple are trying to keep their marriage together, for example, there can be a lot of turmoil involved in that. And to separate from each other and remove themselves from the battle zone results in a peace that's easy to understand. It's called the peace of giving up. But this peace is not the peace of God. Now, I'm not saying that every time people separate, I'm not saying that every time that that's not the will of God. There are times when I believe that God has given us permission to not stay in a relationship. But if it's just they grate on your nerves, or maybe, you know, it's so ho-hum that it's boring or whatever, you know, there can be a peace in separating from that person, but that's not the peace of God. And so Jonah was shaken awake by the sailors, and he realized he couldn't run anymore. His disobedience had begun to affect everyone around him. And that's, of course, what disobedience does. And so our storm becomes the storm of the people around us. And the world begins to fall apart, and innocent people get hurt. And it's amazing how one person's disobedience can affect generations. I've actually seen that in my own family. But we have to give Jonah credit. There was no doubt in his mind who was responsible for the storm. He told the sailors he was responsible, and he was concerned for their safety, and so he told them to throw him overboard. That's what we need to do. We have to face reality. We have to own up to our part of whatever fault and failure is there and cast ourselves on the mercy of the Lord. And God will always be waiting for us. The funny thing about trying to run away from God is the stupidity of it. It's like I said, our arms are too short to box with God. Our legs are not long enough to run away from him. Since Adam and Eve first ran behind the tree of sin, a lot of us have done the same thing, trying to hide from God. Jacob ran from the rightful wrath of Esau. He stole the blessing and the birthright. David ran from his responsibilities at the battlefield, straight into Bathsheba. Jonah ran from Nineveh. We all know how to run away from the Lord. What we don't seem to get is that it's just futile. It's ridiculous. I think a lot of us have had that Nineveh experience in our lives. Sometimes it's a responsibility that God gives to us, or maybe it's a vocation that he calls us to follow. Maybe it's a challenge to deal with, or a relationship that needs to be mended. For others, maybe it's a serious illness. And when we're confronted with that, we can either face the challenge or run away from it. But it'll save us and God a lot of trouble if we just cave and do what we're told. So the Bible says in Jonah 2:10, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah 3:1, it says, after the wind and the whale came the word. The wind and the storm will cause us to wake up to the reality of things. The whale gives us a chance to put things right with God. Sometimes you don't get a second chance, you know, to do that first thing. You may go on to plan B, but, you know, you'll never have a chance at that plan A again. But a lot of times you do have a chance at plan A. Jonah did, because God's mercy is such a wonderful grace. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He's so merciful. So the message that God had for Jonah had not changed, but the man who received the message had changed after those days in the belly of the fish. And so Jonah 3:3 says, so Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. That just makes me laugh. Yeah.
I heard a minister say one time, Deb, that God says you can do it my way or you can do it my way. That's, but either way, it'll be my way.
That's right. That's right. And the sooner we catch on to that, the easier our life will be. So Jonah was getting the message, but it was a disturbing message to him. The message was that God loved the Ninevites. Why did this bother Jonah so much? Because Jonah didn't love the Ninevites. In fact, he hated them. They were Israel's enemies. He wanted God to kill them, not bless them. He knew that other prophets had predicted that God would use the Ninevites to punish Israel for her sin. And Jonah, being a true blue Israelite and having tunnel vision, he wasn't interested in the big picture. The fact that God had set Israel aside to be his missionary nation, that all the nations of the world might eventually be blessed through Israel, was of little matter to him. The only thing he was thinking about was the here and the now and Israel's safety. And if he preached to Nineveh and Nineveh repented, then God wouldn't judge Nineveh and wipe her out. And if God did not judge her and wipe her out, she would be strong enough to hurt Israel. And so he wanted no part of that. So at the moment, he loved his country, his people, his clan, more than he loved God and what God had in mind. So here's the dilemma. Jonah had this incredible experience inside the whale's stomach. Imagine being swallowed by a fish and finding yourself alive in the stomach of a fish. Not fun. Not fun. But he had survived, and in the middle of this ordeal, God had heard his prayer and visited him. You find that in Jonah 2. And so he just didn't dare disobey again, and so he set out to do the will of God. But Jonah had a bigger lesson to learn. God loves all humanity, including Ninevites and Jonahs and street people and Indian people. He's just as concerned for his stubborn, unhappy, bruised people as he is for his disobedient servant. So even as Jonah's being kind of prodded down the road, God is working on his behalf. He would meet him at the side of the road in the heat of the day. He would provide for him. He would care for him, speak lovingly with him, bless him. He would, in essence, fill Jonah up, bless him. And Jonah must have been well aware that his spirit was lacking, because even though he had been able to pray, he was still angry about a lot of things. You know, chronic anger will empty your spirit as soon as God fills it up. Anger will burn a hole in your heart so that the blessings of God just leak out. Jonah had been able to remember the word of God in his trouble, because chapter 2 is full of scripture quotes that he used in his desperate prayer to the Lord. But you know, your head can be full of scripture and your heart can be empty of God's blessing. And that's the way it was with Jonah. His ministry had been powerful. Lives had been changed as he preached to the Ninevites, but he somehow was not able to change his own attitude. You know, the Word of God is the Word of God, and it will do what needs to be done with people who respond to it, even if the preacher is out of sorts. And so as Jonah preached his way through Nineveh, people listened, they repented, they responded. He had a full-scale revival on his hands, and yet he was angry. It's funny how we can do what God asks us to do and maybe feel that it's not the right way to go, like we know better than God. The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp and a light and a hammer and a sword, and it says that it will accomplish God's work in people's lives, that it won't come back void. Doesn't matter how we feel or what we need cleaned up in our own lives. That's a promise that the Word of God says. His Word will not come back void. Well, Jonah didn't love the Ninevites, and he was angry when they repented. And things were just as bad as he had feared they would be when the Word of the Lord first came to him and told him to go and preach to Nineveh. Why was he so upset?
We'll need to stop here today, but tomorrow Debbie will have more to share as she continues talking about disobedience and rebellion. Please join us next time. Thank you for listening to First Nation Ministries, where our mission is to reach Native Americans with the gospel of Jesus Christ while also helping with their daily physical needs. If you share our hearts in this ministry, we ask you to first pray for us, and then if you're able, to help us with the expenses associated with our work, including the costs of radio airtime, which can add up rather quickly. We thank you so much for your help, and invite you to listen to the contact information at the close of the program. I love to tell the story. Please write for the First Nation Ministries newsletter and help us continue to reach the Indian tribes with the message of Jesus Christ through your prayers and financial gifts. Write to us at First Nation Ministries, Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. That's Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. You can also call us at 503-408-2391. That's 503-408-2391. Or visit our website, firstnationministries.org.